Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, it's Pride Month, and as we heard a little earlier, there's festivals taking place all over the country to mark it. People will be flying flags from homes and businesses in lots of towns across the country. But as part of the month-long festivities, I wanted to learn a little bit more about the gay history of Ireland. So I decided to go on the secret history of Gay Dublin Walking Tour, and I met Conor O'Rourke from Alternative Dublin.
We're so excited. Dublin Pride this year is going to be pandemonium. We have Taylor Swift, Shania Twain, and also Pride on the same day. So it's going to be so great. And also this tour will be running multiple times during the week.
Tell us a little bit about the history of Gay Dublin.
We were the last country in the world to decriminalise homosexuality in 1993. But then we were the first country outright in the world to legalise gay marriage in 2015. So we've had such a massive level of progression in such a short window of time. And especially people from Ireland, like, it is in some ways surprising because we're very much known for Catholic ideals in our past, so it is up to like a lot of these kind of Trojan workers and these people at the fore fighting for gay rights that we highlight on the tour that kind of gives us to have such pleasure and kind of liberation and feeling ourselves in such a short space of time.
We're standing here at the first, I suppose, stop or the first point of the tour, the Oscar Wilde statue. Mm-hmm. Why do you start the tour here?
We're known for having patron saints for everything, and Oscar Wilde is the patron saint for the Irish homosexual, pretty much. And because we have this massive statue here, and it's a good meeting place as well, and Oscar Wilde definitely is one of the biggest characters of queer history in Ireland. So we definitely want to give him his flowers or his sunflower. And that's why we want to stop it here. It started here because we have, like, we know a lot about the length and the breadth of Oscar's life. So it's a good way to kind of get a lovely history lesson done quickly. And also we want to kind of bring the guests in chronologically from our first queer heroes into the gay rights movement in the 1970s. So we talk more about that later on the tour. So it gives them a good kind of timeline of how we've had such amazing progression.
Right in front of us, guys, we have Trinity College Dublin. And here I want to talk a bit about the gay rights struggle in Ireland, predominantly in the 1970s. And as I said before, we had such a massive level of progression in such a short space of time. They started by going up to the British Embassy in Ballsbridge and handing in a letter of protest. And it was the first actual public display of people matching their sexual orientation with their identity in a public domain in Ireland.
So I suppose the first bit of the tour really, Conor, is about explaining the history, basically, of gay rights in Ireland.
Yeah, so we kind of, in the introduction bit, we kind of talked to them about how, like, being queer may be something, as far as, like, our modern culture, it may be relatively new, people think, but that is not true. Queer people have been around since the dawn of time. So we kind of have a little triple example at the start of the tour saying how long we have had kind of queer presence in Ireland history. Because, like, in the Brehon laws, the Celtic laws, you're able to have a divorce if the husband was actually with the servant boy instead of the wife. And that was our old Celtic culture, way before we became Christians. And even early Roman textbooks, there's so many references how Celts had an insatiable appetite for same-sex. So, like, literally, we have been here for years, just our history has been oftentimes kind of cast aside or kind of deliberately ignored. So the aim of this tour is really to bring people to spots in Dublin that they know well and love, and they would know bits of the history about them, or kind of uncovering the queer history of those spots, because they already have built up kind of intimacy with the landmarks of Dublin. It's just the queer history they just don't know is in those same places.
So we're here outside Trinity College Dublin. It's on our right-hand side. Why is Trinity on the tour?
We include Trinity College on the tour as it's where Oscar Wilde started his studies. It's also where Bram Stoker, also author of Dracula, went to college. But also it's a good way of bringing in Senator David Norris into the story, because he was definitely at the fore of the gay rights struggle in Ireland. And we kind of talk about his long legal cases. Like, he actually, in 1963, he was hospitalised due to a panic attack. And in the psychiatric report, they actually blamed the panic attack on his homosexuality, which is a horrible error. But him being a professor of law, he was able to use that error to grant him standing to challenge two acts in our constitution in court that criminalise homosexuality. And those court cases are still taught in Trinity College today. And because of him being elective of Trinity at the Shannon, all that kind of comes into place. That's why he kind of used Trinity as a backdrop for the tour itself.
Who else, I suppose, in more modern in modern history would, or who else in modern history features on the tour?
So we talk about, we also in Trinity, we talk about Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese, how when they came into presidency in Ireland, they were really much fighting for rights for minority groups. So they, and like a lot of the people are part of the sexual liberation movement in the 1970s. They went on to be massive power players in politics in our modern kind of Dublin society, in Ireland society. We also talk about Panty Bliss, our premier drag queen, kind of talking about how she, in her work, kind of stamped out the stigma of queer individuals in Irish society, because her kind of prime was in the 1990s, and she was always on like talk shows and always hosted by men, and they weren't rude, but they had a time limit they had to stick to, so they're always asking pointed questions. But it was through her comedy, always reacting to these questions by taking the piss, that she really did show people that she was just as Irish as the rest of us. And this, and again, homosexuality decriminalised in 1993, so there still was a massive stigma around it.
Okay.
So by her just showing that she had the accent, the brogue, and our humour, what we cherish more than anything else, it did so much to show that queer people are just as Irish as the rest of Irish people.
So where's next on our tour, Connor?
Next, we're going to swing by the Bank of Ireland and do a little bit of history with the Act of Union in 1800 and talk about one of the queer individuals who was responsible for it.
We're outside Bank of Ireland.
Yes, we're outside the Bank of Ireland. Originally it was a customs house, but then until the year of 1800, this was actually the house or the home of Irish Parliament. And the year 1800 is a depressing year of our history, because that's when our regional autonomy was desecrated. We once had a parliament in this building, but after that act was passed, the Act of Union, all of Irish parliamentarian power reverted back to London. So we became a marginal backwater of the British Empire, and we experienced a massive economic decline. But a lot of people don't, like, it's kind of surprising this act was passed, because all the Irish parliamentarians had to say yes towards it. But it was because of a man called Viscount Castlereagh, Robert Stewart. He actually was the Chief Secretary of Ireland at the time, and it was his task by the King to pass the Act. And he had a fall from grace as well, because he was actually accused of a same-sex crime at the time. He heavily denied it, but then he actually took his own life. So a lot of people thought, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. And we include this kind of deep dive archive story in the tour, because we want to show people that the breadth of kind of all these kind of stories of history, some of these gay people of history are heroes, some of them are villains, there is all a grey area in between.
Next on the stop?
Next on the stop, we go to the Hirschfield Centre, the site of the first National Gay Federation. So guys, we're now at our last stop, but we just passed a few different places, like Brogan's. Brogan's, during the late 70s, early 80s, was actually one of the first queer watering holes of Dublin. It was called The Viking, and it had its own drag queens inside. Hopefully, in my vision, they were in Celtic kind of costumes to appropriate the name. And then also beside it, the Olympic Theatre. I always highlight that, because that was the site of the Bis Alternative drag pageant from the late 80s up to 2012. And that was hosted by Panty Bliss, and it was often called by the locals Gay Christmas. So hopefully we see a return of that in years to come, now that we have so many new kind of baby drag queens in Dublin. And the last thing to highlight is City Hall, because that was the site of the siege of City Hall during the 1916 Rising, which is impressive, dealing that it's so close to Dublin Castle. But there we highlight Dr. Kathleen Lynn. She is a queer icon, and she was the chief medical officer of the Rising. But here at Dublin Castle, we round off the tour with a funny story. We talk about how the Irish crown jewels were stolen in 1907, or the early 1900s, and the two people who are largely speculated as guilty of that crime, Sir Arthur Vickers, the librarian, and his assistant, Francis Shackleton. And then to round off the tour, we talk about how it's a full circle moment, because here at Dublin Castle, this was the site of empirical colonial rule for near 800 years, and at the same spot in 2015, if you had a bird's eye view, you would just see nothing but a sea of rainbow flags, as everyone was waiting to get each county's yes or no vote, when we got an overwhelming yes, and we were finally, we accepted gay marriage in our society then.
There you go, Conor O'Rourke from Alternative Dublin there, bringing me on the secret history of Gay Dublin walking tour. And as you mentioned, you can get the tickets online through Alternative Dublin.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.